Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program, this South Song, as we like to call it, is being recorded for Saturday, November 19th, 2016. Wow. It goes fast, doesn't it? If you are listening to this radio program and you're enjoying it, you know what I'm going to say because you hear me say it all the time. There are some very kind and loving people who make these radio programs possible. They are people who have become sponsors of our radio and our television program, and I am deeply grateful to them. They are people who care enough to help you in their own way to come to a place where you might be exposed to some insights that, well, maybe aren't very popular, but extremely powerful. So if you are enjoying these programs, whether it be the TV programs on the Aspire website or YouTube, or whether or not you're enjoying this radio program, I hope that you will make a contribution, or better yet, become a sponsor, because your sponsorship is what makes all this happen. Without it, we could not be on the air. And I want to thank my sponsors right now, right here, for their loving kindness and their devotion. It means a great deal to the world and, of course, to me. We're going to talk about love and empathy, okay? Because lately, I've been getting a lot of this, not only from people who have written me over the past year or so, but also those people who are my students. They ask these questions also. So do my sponsors. So let's talk about love and empathy. And the first one question goes from Rick. Is the love you speak of empathy? I am confused. Rick from Colorado. Yes and no. Okay, let's define the word empathy. According to the dictionary, it is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. That is according to the dictionary. It is really the emotional capacity, according to the dictionary, to realize what another person might be going through. But there is a danger to empathy. A real danger. And what is it? The moment you have any empathetic insight into another person's suffering, Rick, you're going to make a judgment. And the minute I make that judgment about what is fair and unfair, right and wrong, I lose my perspective and hence I lose love. Empathy can bring me to love only when it does not go any further than showing me what another person might be going through and feeling that cause inside me that says, look, this is a very difficult situation. I can empathize with you and I'm going to help you. But when I look at it and I think to myself through empathy, that isn't fair. That isn't right. Those people are bad. Those people shouldn't be doing this. Those people cause this. When I start doing things like that, where I start to make a cause out of it, where I start to make everything a difficulty, oh, this isn't right. And I start becoming, shall we say, on a cause, on a crusade, as it were. Then my empathy has turned into a judgment. Empathy is there to show me exactly what another person might be feeling that is going through a difficult time or a difficult circumstance or condition. And I can feel it. Okay? And I understand it. And if I feel it and I understand it, I can do a couple of things. I can change it by helping the person. I can have insight into it by understanding that this empathy brought me to this person in order to help them, to serve them. It is my karma to help them. It is my karma to serve them, to be kind to them, to do anything I can to help them. It can be that. But if I go into it and I get angry and I get hostile about whatever the cause may be, or I think to myself, well, I can understand how you feel, but you have to understand you deserve whatever you get because I don't like you or because I have some judgmental attitude about you. I have some prejudice about you. As long as those things are in play, my empathy turns to judgment. And when it does, that's when it gets ugly. A convulsed child was brought to the disciples, and they were trying to heal the child and could not do it, of course. And they went to Jesus and said, you know, what the heck? We've done everything we can, da 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 da. And he said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The prayer is how you establish yourself in non-duality. The prayer is how you establish yourself in consciousness. The prayer is the state of being where sincerity is more important than reality, supposed reality. And the fasting is to remove myself from the idea of possible and impossible, good and bad, right and wrong. Now, when I am willing to enter into these phases of consciousness, that is when the greatest help can be born in another person. That's when you can really help. But people don't do that. They're not spiritually equipped. They're not spiritually inclined. They're not spiritually devoted. So all of this goes by the wayside, and we just make it a cause. It's a problem. There's duality. There's a problem. There's the answer. There's the problem. There's the answer. There are not answers to problems. There are not solutions to problems. If you look deep inside, you will see there is a sense of reality in every issue that is brought before us. And I must find that issue. The disciples were using hubris to try to heal the child. Ego, vanity, pride. They were trying to use their religious fervor to make all this happen. But it couldn't happen that way, and it wouldn't happen that way. There has to be the establishment of some sense of consciousness. And then for me to, so to speak, fast, be away from the whole idea that this child or this person or this thing didn't deserve this or did deserve it. You have to get out of that judgmental attitude. And that's very hard for people to do because being judgmental, quite frankly, is fun for most of us. We enjoy it, and you can understand why. It makes us feel powerful. It gives us a sense of better than it. It reserves us, as it were, and preserves our ideas and our ideals, our beliefs, our fantasies, our imaginings that we like, which are always very vain. So there you are. You ask, is the love you speak of empathy? It certainly contains a certain amount of empathy, but it depends on how far you go. You can't damn the human psyche. You can understand it and understand how far it goes and the far-reaching effects of fear in it. And if you can understand that at all, then you understand the nature of fear. You understand the nature of your life. You understand the nature of what it means to be fully human. But you don't want to dip into it. You can't do this practice. You can't understand love, or I should really say none of us can. You will never understand love through the human psyche. You just won't be able to do it. You will be able to pick out little bits and pieces. This is what people are doing by asking me this question. They haven't sought to immerse themselves totally into love at all, but they have little bits and pieces. Well, maybe if I fit the empathy with the compassion and put them together, it's not a mental thing we're doing here. It's not a mental, emotional recipe we're doing here. We're not making goulash. This whole thing is a state of being. We're in a process. And if you get involved in the process of everything, you'll come not to conclusions, because that's the deal. If I come to a conclusion about anything, I've lost my empathy, I've lost my compassion, I've lost the ability to help people, or even help myself, much less others. I have to be willing to see the bigger picture. And I have to be willing to go beyond the ideas and the ideals of what I have been taught. This is why I say to all of you, listen to what I'm teaching you. But don't become a parrot of it. You're not sitting in grammar school listening to these teachings. That's not what we're doing. You're listening to these teachings that you might be able to apply them in your life. If you apply them in your life, something of the other shore will reach you and you will have insight. Rick, thank you for your kind question. And I know it's been a while since you asked it, but I'm very grateful for it. And please forgive me. Namaste. Everything has its timing. You know what I mean? Ask a question. I keep it for a while, see what happens, how it brews. The next one comes from Tom in Santa Cruz. That's right around here. What is the difference between the human heart and the spiritual heart? You speak of the human heart as frail and fragile, even foolish. I don't believe that. Oh, golly, what do I say to you, Tom? How do I help you? Human heart is very fragile, and it's very judgmental. And because it's judgmental, it's very fragile. All of the things that you and I have done in the past that we thought were good came out of the human heart. And though many of those things turned to poop as time went on, turned into disasters, turned into painful sufferings, we never learn. We actually never learn. We just keep going and going and going with all of this, fracturing ourselves and causing ourselves great pain and sorrow. The difference between the human heart and the spiritual heart. The human heart makes judgments. The human heart takes sides. The human heart desires. The spiritual heart is one word, knowing. Maybe two words, all-knowing. And once it is listened to in the very deepest recesses of our being, and we start to move with the ebb and flow of it, this deep and profound compassion will come out of you. You will see the silliness of our hubris, our ego, our pride. You won't seek making your life a better place to live. You'll seek to live in the better place of you, your heart, love. Love then becomes the major effort of a human being's life. The way we are now, that is not happening. We only want what we want, because the human heart dictates to us our entire life and what is important. Our human heart dictates to us right and wrong, good and bad. Our human heart tells us what we want and what we need and what we should fight for and what we shouldn't fight for. And it goes on and on and on. It's a form of my ego. And when I make my human heart my, shall we say, total essence of living, when I make it the sum and substance of everything that I do, I will have goals that I want to achieve. I will have things I will want to have. I will want proof somehow in my life that this human heart can give what it says it needs and wants. It's a bitter, ugly circle that goes around and around and around. And after some time, it creates a form of mental illness in us. And we do become mentally ill, but we don't know it because everyone else is as mentally ill as we are. So there's no standard anymore. We start blaming and shaming people. We start looking at people as higher and lower, right and wrong, good and bad, moral and immoral. No, we create tons of duality. And in all of this moral fiber we think is so important, we shut down our ability to listen to the authentic heart. And we miss. And we really don't mind missing. It's okay. You know, I don't care. I hear this all the time from friends and students and people. I don't care. I don't care. I'm right. There is no right in this life. That's duality. There is no wrong in this life. That's duality. There is what it is. And the cruelties and the kindnesses that you experience in this world have to do with whether or not I am conscious, I am in consciousness, or whether or not I'm just fooling around with what I believe and what I want to believe and what I think and what I don't think. It just goes on and on and on. It's ugly. To say the least, it's ugly. Empathy is important in all of this. Because in empathy, I can realize my foolishness, Greg Penn foolishness, Greg Penn pride, Greg Penn hubris. I can look at it. I can see it. Then instead of feeling shame and guilt, which the human heart would render into that, I realize the answer to it. And the object is to fulfill the answer, not to make a person feel bad. There will be many chances you will have in the course of your beautiful lifetime where you have the chance to either go with the dictates of your human heart, which will tell you to condemn, which will tell you that this person is right and that person is wrong. This person is good, that person's bad. Or you can go with your heart, your spiritual heart. And I've heard people say all sorts of things about themselves and others based on their human heart. And they like it because here's the secret to it all. And I'm going to give it to you. It's really not deep and it's not very spiritual, but it certainly is true. We like hate. We love to fight. We love to hate. That's what the elections are all about, politics are all about, people are all about, sports are all about. You like this team, you hate that team, you da 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 da. Always creating duality inside. This mental and emotional duality is very painful and causes us to go off the deep end, emotionally speaking, where we are run totally, completely by our emotionality. And in that emotionality, we do not change and mature and grow at all. Not at all. I know many people who have lived their life sacrificing their life to their emotionality. The human heart is emotionality, Tom. The spiritual heart, oh, that belongs to the gap and the pauses, the spaces between our thoughts. It is that gap and that pause that lives in life. If you are very quiet, is the nothing of life, the nothingness of life. If you enter into that, oh, the beauty is exquisite. And you will never ever go back to the way it used to be. You will never be able to go back to trying to control your mind and control your thoughts and control your life. You will see, all I have to do is let go of the control. Let go of everything that binds me to my emotionality, which is my fears. Out of the human heart, my dear friend, fear will be born. Out of the spiritual heart, there is only love. You and I make the choice. It's up to us. I hope that helped you, Tom, in some way. And please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. This comes from Jerry. He does not tell me where he lives. Can love become the human? Can it actually change a human being? Well, of course, Jerry, love can change everything. But it cannot be the emotional love. It takes a great effort to enter into an authentic spiritual practice. We are not talking about philosophy here. In the beginning, we are talking about the profound motive. To enter into a philosophy or religion, all you have to do is have the motivation of fear. I fear that I can't control my life. I fear I won't get what I want. I fear my living will turn into ruins. I fear hell. I fear this. I fear that. It's all you have to have, and that's human. But when you decide you're going to go full boogie tilt into an authentic spiritual practice, you have to realize love is the only motivation there can be. It cannot be fear. Love changes lives deeply, profoundly. It is a consciousness, not a condition. The human is a condition. Love is a consciousness, totally different. And should you feel the consciousness that goes beyond the human experience, you will understand how deeply important it is to reach love, no matter what you have to sacrifice in this world. This world is nothing but difficulty. We make it so. The world was not created in this manner. We created the world. We created the possibilities of this lifetime by how we have lived in previous lives. We actually created this whole experience. The earth was here. It was so beautiful. And now, well, you can see what's happening, can't you? What's happening to the earth has happened to us. We are corrupt. We have altered to such a degree this earth that we have made it pretty soon uninhabitable for us. We will not be able to inhabit any of this. But it is by our own hand and our own doing, our own willfulness, our own human heart that says, I want more babies, I want more people, I need more family to support my low self-esteem. And we keep going and going and going with this. You can't cure the human mind. You can't follow the human mind. It's like herding cats. It can't be done. The human mind darts here, darts there. It's always looking for an excuse to do its mischief. And it's based in emotionality. When you remove your attentions from your small heart, your emotionality, to your big heart, your heart and soul, that's when a distinct change will take place. This is done through practice and effort and meditation and being able to sustain consciousness rather than conscience. Conscience will only lead you to guilt and shame. Consciousness liberates. It's fundamental in life. It liberates. And you can do this at any time you like. You can begin this journey in any moment. Yes, it takes a little effort, but it is more than worth it. Thank you, Jerry, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and you will see media. Click on media, and you will see Satsang with Suraj, that be me, and click on it, and you'll enjoy. You can email me right from the website. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.